Then those that sell public address systems. Where one day I went to buy a piano for my you know, a keyboard for my kids. And I stopped buying in the market in Nigeria. They might have gave me a booklet on the latest equipment that some guys is representing. I said, the man knows his market. Only churches will come in, they count 4 million naira to come and buy speakers. Who else does that? All these boys that do a bit all over the place. Go and see the parko they use to do their speaker. Churches spend so much money on those things that talk, I don't know if you remember talk. Talk was the reigning one in Nigeria at the time. Their advert in the papers was quality that enhances the anointing. No, I'm not joking. Quality that enhances anointing. That was, I'm not joking about it. They knew the market. I'm not emphasizing something there. Preaching the gospel is not cheap. People say, oh, Pastor Banky, thank you very much for making your downloads free. I said, we thank the Lord, amen. It's free for you. It's not free for us. Small money here and there, they add up. All the radio stations that you hear, multiply 250,000 naira by 5 is the amount of money we have to give out every quarter. And that's one of the stations we are not paying for. Somebody else is paying. It's small change when Pastor Poju is talking. When you sit at your home and you are watching Quantum Leap, the quantum didn't leap free into your sitting room. It didn't leap free into your sitting room. It did not leap free. When you say every, that's why it upsets me, just between you and me, when I get mails asking for more free things. I don't know. You don't know how annoying it is. You get me asking for more free things. Just be looking at the person and say, you shouldn't talk unless you show me the receipt for the last offering you gave. Do you get my point? Should we try to keep our costs down? Please go and buy the book. If you have not read it, please go and buy it. All these things I'm saying, they are inside. What they call it? So we pay for this. That's why I wrote the book. Let me emphasize something to us as believers. Listen. I speak, and you hear me. I speak against preachers who manipulate with the gospel. I do. Because it's wrong. And pressure should never let you do that. However, my message today is about the pressure. Sometimes these men are under pressure. Some of them don't have enough wisdom to manage things well. Oh God, I hope you are following me. I hope I'm not boring you. You need to be aware to what is going on. That's what I'm going to explain. Don't ever let it enter your mind to think that ministry is free. It is not free. Some people look at Kingdom World, this is good, this is good. I said, look, I'm not bragging because of you. Listen, if I have to draw a salary from Kingdom World Ministries, right now I don't get paid a dime. Ministry is not cheap. It is not cheap. If you see a preacher, respect him. And don't think what I do is normal. What I do is abnormal. For a man to preach 4 times a week and still have to work for federal government to eat is madness. It irritates my soul when people use me as an example. I hate people giving me as an example. It's a very bad example. Don't use me as an example. For the amount of work I do preaching the gospel, I shouldn't be working anywhere. Nobody should use me. It's a bad example. One man came here one day, one adulterous man. Yes, now a woman in chase come here. One of our sisters was coming. He followed her from work. The guy said, leave me, I had a good Bible study. The guy came. When I was preaching, he was sitting down there. This is as a responsible man. I was preaching on prosperity that day. It was our Saints of God series. So that day, he came on the day when I was preaching, the will of God is prosperity. I talked about health, righteousness, all those kind of things. I'm not talking about prosperity that day. I said, the fact is that if you don't realize that God wants you to prosper, you don't walk according to that. I was just trying to explain that principle. He requested to see me at the end. When he was sitting down there, he said, when you were speaking, I appreciate what you're doing, but you know, there was a kind of disconnect. There's a disconnect. I was looking at him. That he has a son. The foolish man that came chasing a young woman has a son that's 20-something. The girl who was chasing was 20-something. I did not know that time I would have given him the truth of God. When he finished, disconnect. That his son does not agree to work because, you know, they're believing God. You know, those kind of things. That they're waiting for a miracle and disconnect. So I looked at him, I said, sir, this is your first time here. He said, yes. I said, you have not heard me. Those who listen to me here, they know me. I am not encouraging anybody to be lazy. He said, he's a lawyer and this and that and that and that. So, before he got to that point, we're talking, now said that, and after that, I said, the people that listen to me here, they know me very well. I said, I am a hospital consultant and a university lecturer, and I'm a part-time lecturer in other universities. I remember his countenance sagged, because he thought he was talking to a pastor who's pastoring because he wants to milk people. So when he heard me talking prosperity, he thought I wanted to take an offering. I said, those that listen to me, they know me well. They know my wife. They know how my wife hustles. Relax. What is it? He's a lawyer. Yes, he shook my hand. I'm like, get away, let us. What are you talking about here? Amen. Well, later on, I found out the truth. If I had known the truth, Papa, I would have said, it's true. But you see, they saw that marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. One among us and adulterers, God will judge. Forget my gospel of prosperity. You're about to die for your iniquity. You are telling me I'm disconnected. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Please, I'm going to emphasize something. Listen. God arranged my own life, you know. I know that's why I don't involve myself in many things. I don't involve myself in, that is, if you know the number of things I refuse to involve myself in. People, one day, one lady called me, said, somebody wants to see you. Who is the person? Is he a Kingdom World member? I said, no. He said, is he her friend? He wants to come and talk to me. The guy is a doctor. He used to attend House on the Rock. He knew me that time. I said, do you want Pastor Ed's number? He said, no, the guy wants to talk to me. I said, listen, I don't counsel people I don't know. He said, he's coming from out of town. I said, you don't get the point. I said, listen, there was no touch, didn't talk. I said, I'm sorry, I don't talk to people I don't know. I don't counsel. If you come here for the first time, say, Pastor, I want to see. I say, go and see Larry. Go and talk to somebody else. I need to see your face. I need to know that you have been listening to me, and what I'm saying has not yet solved the problem. That's when I talk to you. That's how I solve my problems in life. I don't want to, you know, valuable myself with the people who come. There's no ministry phone number that's with me. We have three. Two of them are with Felix. One was with Yinka. One man, one day called Yinka on one line. Yinka told him something. He called the second number. One, he said, were you not the one I talked to just now? He didn't know that both lines were with Yinka. So, you see, you don't... The Lord is good. I don't know. I'm just saying many things. I hope you are following what I'm not saying here. I hope you are following. I'm going to emphasize something. Listen, ministry is not free. The fact that we preachers present it as free doesn't mean it's free. It costs money. It costs not only money, it costs time. We make sacrifices to make sure this thing keeps going. That's what I'm going to emphasize. That's why I wrote the book. So we pay for this. Because sometimes when I preach, some preachers used to think that Pastor Banky doesn't want them people to sow seed. People shouldn't be sowing seed. That seed sowing is bad. It doesn't help them understand their responsibility. Are you getting my point? They only give you so that they can get. Your ministry is not like a place where they multiply their seed. You give to me to multiply your seed. I'm not talking about. I say, come and walk with me. That's what I'm talking about. Walk. Realize it is walk. This way, the way I'm preaching, you put money. Don't sow me any seed. That's why I hate that idea of sow seed. Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into the harvest field. That's what I pray for. I like the kind of calls or messages you get once in a while. Please, I would like this thing to be here. How much will it cost? One mother the other day was asking us, that he wants to put these messages in Port Harcourt. He said, but he has checked the cost that he and his friends, they can't handle it yet. That they are just praying that God will raise them up to where they can handle it. The only request he made is, I said, sir, please, can you give us longer messages? That because people here, they need to hear what you are preaching. That's what I want to hear. Also, any seed, I beg. Jaguda seed. I don't like it. People who don't appreciate the work of God. Are you getting my point? That's why I preach the way I preach. But a lot of people misunderstood me because the only motivation they understood for Christians giving is what they are going to get. So when I said that seed sowing is not supposed to be like that, they said, no, this man wants to spoil offering. This is what I began to make last week. When we're talking about wealth as Christians, God is not giving us something that you can eat larger than other people. That's why I said to them, "Said when I blessed you, when I blessed you, what did you do? You ran to your own panel houses." God said, that was not the purpose. I said, I'm giving you all my money. I'm giving you material resources so you can build the temple, build the tabernacle. So therefore, I called a famine upon the land. I broke the staff of bread so that you will ask yourself, what is going on? And I'll be able to answer you and say, you are not focusing on the main thing I'm doing in your life. I said something last time, which is actually what I want to preach. I've been trying to get to. That's why we read from that Romans chapter 12 now. We read from that Romans chapter 12 to emphasize something. This is what I said last time. That every believer is supposed to participate. Now, I want to quickly give something in about 2-3 minutes. Then I'll go to the main thing I want to say. Then we'll close with it. I want to give a practical guide for a believer. For a believer that's just learning how to give. Practical guide. Once you are not living below the poverty line, remember poverty line, you don't have any money at all. Once you have a bit of regular income, even if you have to hustle for it every time, I give you a bit of advice. Make sure that nothing less than a quarter of it goes out for two things. One, there are three things. You go and read my book, How to Work for God. Giving to, there are a number of places where you give to. And you are giving to God. Honoring your parents, giving to the gospel, giving to the preacher, giving to help the poor, giving to widows of your household. 5 things I listed in there. Unless you are living below the poverty line, give yourself a mental check. If less than a quarter of your money is going towards these things, you are not giving. That's not the law of God. It's my suggestion. You hear what I said? It's my suggestion. This is what I think. In fact, you know, I was listening to a man of God. He said, look, this tithing that you're talking about, said that Israelites had to give a quarter of their income. That if you analyze the law they had, was a quarter of their income that went. It was a quarter. This is my suggestion. You know, I'm not trying to take an offering. Go and read the book. If you have not read it, please go and read it. How to Work for God. I described it in there. For me, when I say that quarter, it's baseline. What did I call it? And it's a guide. It's very good. Just cut it. Say, this one is not my own. This one is, that is mentally. You earn 20,000 naira, just know this 5K. And listen, I told you before, don't wait till Sunday to give offering. Don't wait till Bible study day to give offering. Are you getting what I'm saying? Once they give you the money, say, this is my church, this is their portion. Put it in an envelope. First opportunity, put it there. You don't, okay, so that you don't be like you didn't give offering every day. Go and look for 50 naira for the remaining. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You are getting my logic. But make sure, you know, because what happens to people is that at the beginning of the month, you know, one man said something once. It's very common. When somebody is a tenant in the house, pay your rent. He said there are problems. So please, landlord should understand that he has problems. So one landlord said that you don't realize that your rent is a problem. Do you understand? People think that paying the rent is when I have money. Very common. People are owing money. They think, listen, if you are owing money, paying your debt is priority. David Paulson said, if you don't do it, you are stealing. I don't want to discuss it now. Meet your obligations first. People like to meet them last. You want to spread the money you are giving in church over 4 weeks. By the 4th week, you are flat broke. And then God should understand. After all, he knows I don't have. You had at the beginning of the month. Yeah. That was when you were supposed to cut that portion. I don't want to say his portion. Because this one was, give that one to God. I really don't like it. You know, it gives an impression that you pay him off, you hold the rest. You don't hold anything off. That's why I said the portion of your church. If you say, okay, I like to give to Kingdom World Ministries regularly, decide how much by yourself. And once the money comes, give it. Don't wait for anybody to come and motivate you. That is how Christians are supposed to live. Honor your parents regularly. It's not about, my father doesn't need anything, I said last time. No. Take it, this portion. Okay, I will accumulate it till December or every few months. Now, all of this is what? Training. I'm doing training. This is baseline. You just started learning to give. Once you have learned it, you can forget it. By that time, you will have jumped. Are you getting my point? I'm not saying forget it and go down to 0.5%. I mean, forget it and be riding 50, 70. Don't be thinking again. Now, this is for what? Every Christian. I am not talking about those we are supposed to be preaching about today. There are some people, the Bible says, and they are the ones I actually have this message for. He said, there is he that giveth. There is a ministry of giving, which makes it unlawful for every, for pastors as an example. I'm talking about preaching of the word of God now. For ministers of the gospel to lay a burden on everybody equally. It is unlawful. Let me tell you the truth. It is not lawful. This proportion thing, even in American tax system, in every tax system, the proportion of income you pay as tax changes depending on the volume of money that comes to you. Some people are in the 10% tax bracket. Some are in the 30% tax bracket. Some are in the 50% tax bracket. If you're in Europe, you can even get to the 70% tax bracket. And the logic is this. If at the end of the years, they pay you dividends and salaries and everything, and your income is $100 million, some people earn like that. The government reasons that, oh boy, give us 50 million of it. The balance 50 million is still enough to change your life. But if somebody labors at the end of the year, earns $12,000, which is about the minimum wage in the U.S., we shouldn't collect much from it because that $12,000 is hardly enough to pay rent and pay basic bills. So they say bring only a small percentage. We can take a guide from that. Even though I mentioned that anybody who has a regular income, your baseline person, this is counsel. It's just advice, not the law of God. If you break it, you won't go to hellfire. I'm not saying that if you don't do it, you will not prosper. I didn't say so. But make sure that you're not that selfish, that you can't let go. What you say, I have problems. Listen, giving is also a problem. I don't know whether I get my point. If you count business as priority, you'll be able to do them. But beyond what is common, that's what I want to emphasize on. God says to you, let me say straight, that once you are in the high earning range, you have been thrust into a ministry. It's called he that giveth. It's called what? He that giveth. The ministry is called he that giveth. That's what we read there. But my message is that he said, let him exercise it accordingly. He said that he that giveth is supposed to do what? Exercise himself in it what? Accordingly. That is, it is not about if it's convenient. It's what? Exercise. First, I can say something for sure. There are two sides to it. One, those who are earning a lot, much higher than average, they are not allowed to be calculating the same percentage in their income as somebody who is earning lower than average. It's not allowed. It's ungodly. You should not be in a church, a ministry, a charity organization, a group, or even your family. Why did I forget that? And you want them to share everything equally. Your family house has a problem. Am I the only son in this house? Let me quickly tell you something about responsible people. Responsible people are usually responsible. Did you hear what I said? What did I say? Responsible people are usually what? Responsible. There are two sides to it. They are called responsible because they are responsible. That's one side. The second side is that when they find out you are responsible, they make you responsible for most things. My experience in most families is that the fellow that's most responsible is not usually the richest. It's not always, okay, let me put it out, it's not always the richest. There are families when the fellow who carries the greatest burden. I know the funny thing, the other ones keep on saying they are broke because they think that guy has money. And as they bring money for this, you know we are building. They are building a house. The man are carrying all the burden. He's managing a two-bedroom flat and paying rent. The other people in the family are building houses. Oh. But because this man is responsible, because this woman is responsible, everybody just assumes that it is because he or she has money. This is my message for you today. Don't be tired. What did I say? Turn to your neighbor. Tell the fellow. Say it like you believe it. Oh. It's my advice to you. Don't be tired. God is watching. In due season, he will reward it. You are not doing because of the reward, but hear the word of the Lord. In due season, he will reward it. Amen. Don't ever be tired. You will go home one day, you will hear that your brother is building a house. Meanwhile, last time your father was sick, you paid 95% of the bills. When there was a problem in the family, in the village, only you handed out 50% of the money. And when they asked your brother, he said he didn't have. Only for you to discover that he didn't have because he was roofing his house. You know, it's very annoying. My message to you is what? Don't worry about him. What God has done is that he has made you responsible. That's the meaning of I'm the head and not the tail. You can't just come to church, I'm the head and not the tail. When they say do heady things now, you say, no, why can't I be the waist? Heady people, do you get my point? You have to learn to be the head. Don't listen. Oh, I'm saying many things, very practical. Don't burden yourself in such a manner that you can't be a giver. It's a terrible thing a Christian would do for himself or herself. If you want to buy a car on loan that's taking half of your salary for 18 months, you should know that you're not big enough to drive a car. There's no sin in it. What should I do, Pastor Banky? Go and sell the car. Go and listen to my message. Take that loss. Go and sell the car. It's driving you into the ground. Did you hear what I said? What did I say? No, the first part. I'm telling you, don't think Pastor Banky, you're just talking. No, it's you I'm talking to. Did they report you to me? The Holy Spirit said, go and sell it. So when you sell it, take every single kobo of the sale money and share it out. Then free your soul. And don't price any other car until you have the cash ready by itself, that it accumulated by itself. That this your habit is poverty. This is how to be poor for a long time. I hope you get the point. I just wanted to drop that. I said that if God is blessing you more than average, he's saying be a giver more than average. And you must do something. Exercise yourself. That's my emphasis for today. Do what? Exercise yourself. It is not as if it's convenient. No. You confess. You tell your wife, let us pray. Honey, what's the problem? Yes. In the name of Jesus. Father God, we receive grace to give. We gave last week. They're asking for more. We receive the grace in the name of Jesus. What's going on? Says we have to spend under 50K. On what? You know that matter now. Are we the only ones there? The Holy Spirit said yes. It's exercise. You pressure yourself. There are those, I'm still talking about he that give it. There's a second sign in which some people, it's not just about you have extra money. I don't know you know yourself. It's a calling. You have been called to give. When I say give, I mean you wake up in the morning. All you are thinking of is, maybe you hear the loudspeaker playing, this is the day. Why is your speaker not playing well? Which church is that? How much will you go and meet the person? How much will it cost to buy you new speakers? And when you are asking, you don't have money. You just want to know. And listen, there may be one or two or three people here listening to me, okay, who have that ministry. It's just a burden on your soul every time. You go to your children's school. Maybe they are in a public school as an example. Why people not in assembly hall? They said the roof is leaking. You go to the principal and say, how much will it cost to fix the roof? When Satan wants to talk to you, you know what Satan will do? Satan will now send your friends to you and say, don't mind the government. The government is supposed to have released money to the principal. The principal is supposed to have talked to the government. The governor and the principal are supposed to have called the contractor. The contractor is supposed to have come and do this. I mean, the children are just in them. They don't talk. Don't mind them. That is Satan. Why did I call the fellow? Tell the man in your mind, get behind me, Satan. When God is giving you an assignment to do in line with your calling, don't let anybody explain it away. The Lord that placed the burden upon your heart knew what he was doing. Go and buy. Look, you know what I like about zinc? It's not expensive. Look, no be zinc. Go and buy a few bundles. Tell the principal. Please, so use this. It's a ministry. You could have come there on in a keke napep. You don't even have a car. If you have that ministry, don't wait. Don't tell this story of when I become rich. You will never become rich. He said, exercise yourself what? Accordingly. You start. It's exercise. You are the type of person. I told you one brother sent us a message. He said, if I give you 30,000 naira, what can he do? He sent us 30,000 naira. That he wants us next place we go to preach. We should give out the books free. That he will send money. He doesn't know where we are going. He doesn't know how many books we are selling. He just said, look, I will send you this some money. Please, next place you go and preach, give out books free. So I told Yenka, when Yenka told me, I said, tell him that we'll use your money to subsidize the books. But I don't want to just hand them out free, apart from maybe some of these other ones we have. So one went to go and preach in one school shortly after. I told the students, I have some good news. It's always the good news. Normally we do that. When we go to campus to preach, we crash the cost of our materials very low. So we brought the books down very, very low. So they were very happy. And I said, but it only gets better. I said, what's going on? I said, now the price will even go lower. Wow. Why? I said, because one brother sent money. So we have given you our own discount. We now want to give you his own discount. By the time we finish, how much are we selling? How to work for God? Is it 200 naira? Shall I say yes? Normally that the book is 600. Was going for 200 naira. The MP3s will be like 100, you know? The students were like, yeah, this is the day that the Lord has made. Everybody was feeling very, very happy. I said, do you know why I told this story? They said, why? I said, because I want you to know how to live when you are the one earning money. Somebody's earning it now, you enjoy it. But the time will come when it will be your own time. Don't forget, this is how life is supposed to be lived. There is he that giveth. For some people, it's a responsibility. I feel like preaching this message to them because it's a ministry that people have not consciously developed. We need to preach because when you preach about something, you stir up the gift of God in people. When you don't teach on some things, the gift of God is not stirred up. Many Christians have lived their lives out entirely. We preachers did not stir up that gift. They did not know the meaning. They went to church. They gave 10%. Everybody was happy. And pastor said, this brother is faithful. And God said, this brother is irresponsible. Because occasionally he will see pastor giving something. They are doing something in church. He dropped some money. He didn't know that if they had preached the truth to him, he alone will have carried 60% of the burden of that assembly. Why? Because it is his job. After all, you preachers, you preach 60% in your churches. Am I lying? Or more, I don't mean that minimum. I'm not saying that is. You preach. When I say, I don't mean seeing it off your time. Why didn't you draw a roster? You don't realize that God also sent some people. I said, this giving, no roster. I told you before, I prayed this prayer long ago. You know, there are times you are praying some prayers. It's as if, like, are you serious? Listen, I prayed one prayer long ago. I said to the Lord, you will send me financial laborers in this harvest field. That's one. And I realized that. I said, listen, majority of the money we will spend will come from a few people. And not because I want to know them and be friends, but that's just the way God works. I just believe God that time will come. Within 24 months, 12 people will give 1 billion naira each to Kingdom World Ministries. It's not like a big thing until we're talking the other day, one ministry. The big boss said, look, we'll need a lot of money. And at least 3 people gave 1 billion each. I said, in this country, I said, when I was saying it years ago, because I said, Pastor Vangie, are you sure? I didn't know it's already happening. Why I went to all of this, I just want to explain something. There is a ministry. You don't desire it, you are called to it. Are you getting my point? Every Christian can desire to be a better giver. And I think all of us should stir up ourselves to be better in what we are doing. But there are some people, and I'm speaking to you both directly, physically here, or to this message. You need to start exercising yourself. Who are you? How will you know? It's simple. Just as I was talking now, you were feeling the vibrations that, yes, this is what happens to me. I come to a place like this, all I'm thinking of is, can't we improve this? How much will it cost? I go to a place, I'm thinking of, this can be done better. The cost of it is what comes to my mind. Somebody wants to do something, it comes to my mind, I want to give. It is likely. In fact, that is how you will know that you have a calling, which is called the giving ministry. Why I want to preach about it is because it's not been developed enough. The reason why we have problems in the body of Christ is that we don't do things in a balanced way. If we stir up those gifts and help Christians understand, this unnecessary pressure will go down. You just come as a minister, you just announce something simply. Like I told you the other day, when they said that one of our brothers wanted to buy a plane, and the plane was $65 million, and people were angry with him that he's raising the money, I said, see, this is what the problem is. If we had preached it properly, and we had stirred up those gifts, and if indeed, I'm not, please get my point, I am not saying it is good, I'm not saying it is bad. There's abounding, there is abasing. I don't know the state it was in. But what I just know is that what the Lord actually proposed is that at such times, he that giveth, a few of them will come together. They just announced that the ministry needs to buy another jet. So those who have something, please send it in. And people can send total $5 million. Two people, three, four, five people will just come together, put the other $60 million. And there will be no news in the newspapers. All this one that will come on Sundays and be talking and talking, part of the problem, apart from the fact that we may not be very disciplined, but the pastors that are even not talking, they are exercising extra faith than is necessary. They should have used that faith to heal the sick. They should have used that faith to preach a hotter message. If enough people had been developed in the giving ministry, as soon as they just finished talking, they say, Pastor, what are we talking about? And listen to me, those kind of people don't give, number one, because they have plenty. They give because it's an assignment. So the kind of people that we, so people say, that clear your account. Most people who clear their account get nothing. Are you getting my point? But there are people that clearing their accounts is their job. Nobody's begging them. Let me give an example. If your child is sick and doctors say, look, $250,000 we need to do this surgery, and your account has $249,000, how much are you going to collect? Is that not clearing your account? Why? It matters to you. It matters to you. In the same manner, all this one that we are saying, too many laws, because we don't preach the whole truth. There are people that, before you finish talking, they say, the program is next week, we're going to spend like $3.5 million. The guy just looks, he goes to the bank. How much did they? He said 3.2. It's okay. He writes a check, 3.2, drops it. Then he starts believing God for the other 300,000 naira in the name of Jesus. I claim 300,000 this week in Jesus' name. He gets 150. You know why God gave him 3.150? Oh no, he gets 150. That makes how much? 3.350. Remaining how many? God said, no, be only you. So I restrain you from giving the whole thing. But left to him, he will have done it. Why? It is his ministry. He doesn't sit in front. He's not pastor's right-hand man. Sometimes he does not even come to the church. He is he that giveth. Sometimes he's just carrying somebody else's burdens. Let's not speak as if only about preaching the gospel of God. Just about bearing one another's burdens, the Bible says. Listen, next week, now I think I'm done, I'll be able to start how to possess the land. Because except we have the means, we can't do these things I'm saying. I said that I explained today that we have to change the way we reason. Believers, Christians, we now understand what wealth is about. Wealth is not about changing your car every 2 years or every new model. You must not be behind. Why can't you be behind? God is not giving us wealth. So that, listen, the true Christian rich man should not be identifiable by looking at him from outside. He doesn't stick out like a sore thumb. He lives in a village and is driving a Bentley. That's foolishness. How can you be in a village and you're driving a Bentley? I don't care whether you have a billion. It's foolishness. There's a law of God. Jesus said, be wise as what? Serpents. Serpents. He was talking about camouflage. Blend into the environment. Don't be a preacher and then you are living in Hollywood. Leave Hollywood for the stars. Are you getting my point? Forget preacher. You are a billionaire. There is no need living, buying all these ones, fabulous lifestyle of multi or filthy rich people. You don't need to participate. Warren Buffett has lived in the same house for 40 years. Richest man in the world. Lives in an average suburban house for 40 years. It's like they tell you, where is the richest? Where is Aliko Dangote? You say, okay, that first turn there, the first bungalow on the right. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I don't know whether you heard that. Richest man in the world, off and on. Peter Daniel, they said the man has only one car at a time and one pair of shoes, not two. Did you hear what I said? Each time you catch Peter Daniels, he has only one car. A man that got paid $1 million for talking for 10 minutes has only one car. He flies private jets, he has only one car. So I'm not talking about humility, say, look, so you must understand that flying private for him is to save time. For some people, if God catches you on commercial flight, he will have to punish you extra. You will get home, both feet will be swollen. Your back will pain you. He said, Lord, what happened? He said, you were wasting my time. You think the time is your own? He said, Lord, I was trying to save money. He said, did I tell you the money was your own? Tell me how much my time you wasted at the airport is. They postponed that flight by 3 hours. By the level I put you in life, each hour is $10,000 wasted. For some people, it's $500,000 wasted. When Warren Buffett got paid $13 billion in 1 year, you know what that means? Yet, such men live in average houses. What does that tell you? Wealth is not about, I have built a big house. There is nothing, that's what I want Christians to understand. Because you are listening to me, God is about to break through upon somebody. And God said, if you want me to stop quickly, start behaving foolishly. If you want me to stop, the first money I give you, you have gone to upgrade your car. You're tired of an old Camry now. You have to be the latest Avalon. Next, in your next contract, the money will not come out. You say, Lord, what happened? You say, I'm about to shake the heavens and the earth. Don't do it again. You say, Lord, I'm sorry. What do I do? Sell that Avalon and trek for 6 months so that you will never forget. You say, Lord, did you say 6 months? Yes. I will never have another car. Taxi for now. Say, Lord, is it good? 6 months. It's in the third month you'll offer a sacrifice, and you will see the angel that collected all your cars in the heavens. Remember what happened to David? Say, next time I shake the heavens and the earth, don't run to your own panel houses. Do you understand me? Say, yes, sir. Then he releases something into you. Then you see breakthrough. Say, Lord, what do I do? And they say, expand this company. I want it to be 3 times bigger than it is right now. Why? Because right now you have only 10 members of staff. I want you to employ another 20. Because by the end of next year, your staff number must not be less than 1,000. Do you get my point? You say, yes, sir. People won't understand. Every year you're expanding. See, this man doesn't even own his own personal house. They don't know. If I own that house, just before roofing is, you collapse. People don't understand what I'm talking about. He will be multiplying the company. The company is growing, 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 growing. People say, buy a house now. Say, guys, I'm somebody's servant too. They won't get the point. God said, good. First phase one. Next phase, I want this gospel preached to every corner of this continent. I want you to raise me a band of 6-7 people. I will let you know who and who. All of you, commit for me 100 million naira a month. Do you get my point? They'll say, yes, sir. He starts talking to his friends. I have this idea. We can move the gospel all over Africa. It will cost 100 million naira a month. I'm able to bring 20. Can you do another 20? At the end of the few years, you know what he has done? he and his friends are giving out $100 million every month. Then God starts pouring all kinds of favors in their direction. People say, see, they are sowing seed. They are not sowing seed. They are doing their job. I'm closing now, please. Please, pardon me. I just need to finish this thing today. Because the time has come for the people that God is raising. And he said to them, he that giveth. Time for them to understand their ministry and start believing God for great things. When you finally buy a private jet, it won't be because we two have arrived. It is that we need to move faster. The work is plenty. Did you get what I said? Do I want to own a private jet? Really? Personally? No. I don't have any prayer for it. But let me tell you one I heard recently that excited me. I went somewhere, and they told me one pastor was going to come. I said, does he have a private jet? He said, no. I said, okay. We're just gisting. So I said, the man of God, is he coming? I just said, does he have his own private bird? They said, no. That what he does is that when he wants to travel, there are some guys in this church. All they ask from him is, give us 2 hours notice. We'll always have a plane on ground to take you wherever you are going. I said, that is better than only one. To me, that does 2 things for you. One, you can move around. Two, you know you have blessed people. Do you get my point? That is what ministry is, that you are blessing somebody. So I said, hey. They said, that he wasn't supposed to come because there's an important thing he's supposed to do. Okay? But that what they will just do is that they will just say, sir, when are you going? He tell them, look, I'm supposed to start ministering in the church by 9. By 7:30, they have a plane at the airport. He will just come in. Boom. Enters. They will take him to where he's supposed to preach. The engine is still steaming. He will go in, preach, return. Then when he comes down, he blesses the people. God bless you. And goes back in his own car. He doesn't own one. He doesn't really want to own one. He doesn't travel that frequently. But he has men around him that own such things. I said, Father God, that is better. That's better. I just say, Olayinka, please call the Dechuku, you guys. Make sure that I'm supposed to be in Jos from Jos. We are going to Makodi. After Makodi. Okay, what's your name? What is your name? Kingsley. So I said, okay, tell Kingsley that the return journey, all right, because I won't come back immediately. Tell Kingsley that he'll be the one to bring me back. You know what? You know the part of it I like most? Yes, sir. Hey! That one is sweet. It is that yes, sir part that I like. I don't want to have one. It is that, listen, that yes, sir part to me is sweeter than owning it. No, really. It's like, if I want to travel, you know the part of a plane, of a flight I like most? If you ever see me on a flight, you say, what's wrong with this guy? When the pilot finished moving, getting ready, cabin crew, get ready for takeoff. I close my eyes and lean back into my seat. The man goes, that's thrust. As he pins me to my seat, I feel like I'm in heaven. Honestly. If they allow people to pay for the pilot plane to land and take off again, I'll go pay. What I'm trying to say is that, for me, that is the sweetest part of the journey. In the same manner, for me, what is sweetest? It's not that I have a pilot, I have somebody. No, it's that I have people who I just call and say, wow, I'm in Enugu right now. I have to be in Abuja. From Abuja, I'm going to Sokoto. I'll be back in 2 days. When are you leaving, sir? I say, all right, we should take off from here. I have to preach in Abuja by 9 o'clock on Sunday. And they'll say, no problem, sir. I go to the airport, I just 7:30. So I can preach any other place that night. And next day, I do ministry. Not, we are sorry to announce this flight has been postponed for 3 hours. You now sit on an airport, no parko like that. No. Not only do you take care of the work of God, you take care of the worker of God. Because without the worker, there is no work. I hope you get my point. There is he that giveth. My message today is this. God will make all grace abound towards you. You will have all sufficiency in all things. Amen. And you are bound to every good work. Amen. There is he that giveth the grace. Oh, he said God has given each person a gift. It's a gift. It's a calling. There is a grace. That grace, if you are here and that's your calling, if you are listening to this, that's your calling. By hearing this message today, the Holy Spirit is entering into you and setting you on your feet. Get up on your feet, therefore, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Receive that grace in the name of Jesus. Amen. Everything that has closed doors for you, Father God, your mercy will receive up because of the power of the blood of Jesus. Therefore, because of that mercy, I declare to your people, those that have that grace to give, receive abundance in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I said, receive abundance in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He said, once again, I shake the heavens and I shake the earth. The silver and the gold, they are mine. The shaking, why? I want to cause silver to come to you. Gold will come to you. That my kingdom might be preached. That my temple might be built. Listen, God will shake the heavens. He will shake the earth and empower you in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, next week, I want to really start talking about how to possess the land. And my primary teaching will be on he that giveth. How to possess the land. Listen, you will possess the land in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let's rise to our feet. I want us to close. Tell your neighbor, there is he that giveth.
There is he that giveth.
There is he that
giveth.
Put up your hands. Say
in the name of Jesus.
The grace to walk in my calling. I receive it.
In
the name of Jesus Christ.
Say it again.
I receive it.
The grace to walk in my calling.
First of all, listen, everybody, like I said, every Christian brings something. So everybody here, you also will prosper in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
When we were building the temple, everybody brought something. Therefore, everyone here, you will prosper in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There are those that God said, this is your ministry, he that giveth. The ability to walk in that calling, receive it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks for today. We thank you, Lord, for today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Quickly, let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness.